And you're listening to Now Live and Local on FM 90.9. I'm Kevin Kelly. The show's Your Performance Connection. And on today's program, we'll be spending the hour with a brand new musical. We have the lyricist, the composer, and a number of cast members from the new musical called 1787. It's sort of thought of as a sequel to the well-known musical, wonderful musical, 1776. 1776, of course, based on the writing of the Declaration of Independence. 1787, based on the writing of the U.S. Constitution. And this show was created here in our community. It is going to be premiered here in our community, specifically next week, Thursday through Sunday, at the Virginia Theater in downtown Champaign. We've got a preview on today's Live and Local.
Dear God, for one solid year they have been sitting here, a whole year, doing nothing. I do believe you've laid a curse on North America.
That was from the musical 1776, wonderful piece of musical theater. And actually, it was from the film version with William Daniels in the role of John Adams, and based on the creation of the Declaration of Independence. We have before us here in our performance studio on Live and Local the creators of a brand new musical, which is thought somewhat of as a sequel to 1776. This one is called 1787, and it's going to have its world premiere next week, Thursday through Sunday, at the Virginia Theater in downtown Champaign. And it's based on the creation of, eventual signing of, and some of the background to the United States Constitution. And the authors in question, Lucinda Lawrence, who is the composer of the music, and Robert Picklesheimer, who is the writer of all the words. And they've been working for a long time on this musical. Lucinda is otherwise working in the band division at the University of Illinois School of Music. Bob is a longtime director of the Creative Dramatics Workshop in Sydney, which is... this is sort of happening under its auspices, I guess.
Yes.
Bob, my impression, and you can correct me if this is wrong, is that this ultimately started with you.
Yes, it sure did. I was in the production in 1993 of 1776 that CUTC did.
CUTC, Champaign-Urbana Theater Company.
Yes. And we, I've done multiple adaptations of fairy tales and things like that in Sydney with kids, and have wanted to done a couple other pieces, and started work on this 10 or 11 years ago. And it is a sequel, and probably the model is 1776. The full name of this one is 1787, We the People, because, of course, it's based on the first line, but that has a subject matter direct to what we do in the musical as well.
Meaning in part that there's a song about that name, isn't there?
Yes, they have a quarrel between We the People and We the States. A lot of the state representatives to this convention want the states to have the authority to decide what the national government will be. And James Madison comes up with the idea that the authority will come from the people, which is actually a very radical idea at the time.
Well, the song that I just played from 1776, Piddle, Twiddle, and Resolve, is how it begins. And that was, of course, a big theme throughout that musical, 1776, and it created a lot of comic opportunities, but it was also really very serious, and of course, that's what goes on in politics all the time. And I assume there's no shortage of that in the creation of the Constitution.
Yes, we have some musical numbers even in committee where they talk about all the different things they do in committees and what shall our presidency be they're quarreling about. And someone today will sing a politician about being a politician and how he makes things work. We have a group.
Did you say makes things worse?
Make things work.
Oh.
Well, worse, right. Yes. We have to make that determination. And we have a group called the Grumbletonians that disagree with everything. So we managed to involve some comic tunes with some serious tunes in the musical.
So what made you think that the Constitution would be as entertaining as the Declaration of Independence?
Well, I wasn't sure. And I stumbled onto a book in 99, Miracle in Philadelphia by Catherine Drinker Bowen. And she talks about the events, and I said, well, there is a story here. And in fact, the intent is to tell the story. So we have Washington and Hamilton and Madison. Benjamin Franklin comes back. George Mason's there. A whole number of people that are well known as our founding fathers.
And I'm actually looking at the list of characters here. Independence Hall is a really long list of people, some of which some of us will know if we've paid any attention to American history, and some of us we probably won't. For example, Gunning Bedford and William Patterson and Robert Yates. If you're a real good student of American history, maybe yes, but for people like me...
Well, one of the reasons for doing the musical even, I'll use James Madison as the classic example. I'm hoping a lot of the these characters, their reputations will be rehabilitated by this musical. Patterson was an important figure. Roger Sherman was an important figure. And, of course, James Madison and Alexander Hamilton and George Washington were. And we know their names, but I don't think we know what they did in this convention to really put together a good national government, which we really didn't have. We had a loose confederation of states. And they saw the need for a good central government.
And you came at this, I assume, with already an interest in history at some level.
Oh, yes. I've done some other things involved with history in Sydney, little plays and what have you. And the Creative Dramatics Workshop is very literary and historical. We've done a lot of Greek, Shakespeare, and then done other historical subjects, Christopher Columbus, things like that in Sydney.
How much work did you need to do to dig into the background of this? And then what...
That's too big a question because I've spent 10 years doing
10 years,
and doing
yeah.
and doing.
Well, I'm assuming this took a real serious focus on this topic in specific.
Oh, yes.
And then
yes.
What are the challenges of making your historical research into a piece of musical entertainment?
Well, editing, because once you have all the information, it's a matter of paring it down. And I've done that. We talked about Lucinda as the composer, but actually it's been a collaboration. She and others, and we've gone through multiple workshops. In fact, you helped in a couple. You came and saw what we did. Others have, and we've gotten quite a bit of input. The opera division of the Department of Music, School of Music, did 10 of the songs in the fall of 2009 as part of a opera studio production. And we've just developed as we've went and tried to make sure that it was entertaining, have pared down the history, but still try to touch on the high points, which basically was a quarrel between the states and the people. Who would have the authority to decide and how, whether the vote would be by popular vote or by the states determining things.
What drew you to or even helped you to find Lucinda Lawrence as the composer you wanted to work with?
I went to the School of Music and said, do you have anybody who might be interested in this? And they sent me to Lucinda. And Lucinda probably should tell the rest of this story.
Go right ahead.
Okay. I received a phone call from someone else in another building saying, Lucinda, can you field this call? And I said, sure. And it turned out gentleman was looking for someone to help with his musical, and could I recommend anyone? And I got the call because I teach a course in arranging and thought, okay, that she'd be a good one. And I recommended someone who turned out to be too busy to do it, and for that I will be eternally grateful because then the more I learned about Bob's research and what his plans were for the musical, I decided that I could not let this opportunity pass me up. I had planned to get back to composing at some point, not exactly that soon, with kids still not yet out of the house. And so I got started on that a little earlier than I planned, but I'm really glad I did not let it go by without taking it on myself. We agreed to meet a couple times, see how it goes on the collaboration, and then renegotiate, shall we continue? And we did that, and we continued, and then I think we just carried on from there and never brought up the subject again.
So you got into the picture about how long ago?
My earliest files, this is how I know, both email and digital files are 2005, early 2005.
That's 6 years.
Six years, and I have learned fairly recently that that's about average from building a musical.
Well, I'm not too surprised. It's a huge effort, particularly if you really are starting from scratch.
Yeah.
As opposed to, you know, there are musicals that are adaptations of movies or of plays or of other things.
Or but, even an existing story.
Right.
Bob had to start with building the story. I mean, the history was there, certainly, but he had to glean from all of the information a storyline.
Well, one of the hallmarks of 1776, I'm going to get the mix all the numbers up, and I'm pretty familiar with this, too, because, like Bob, I was involved in the production that Champaign Urbana Theater Company did way back when. It was actually the first musical I was involved with for them, and it's still probably my favorite. And I'd love to get involved in that again. But one of the highlights of the show is the relationship between two couples. One is Thomas Jefferson and his wife, and the other is John Adams and his wife. And there's only the two women in the show, if I remember right. And we have a sample first, I think, on our program right now that involves a couple and the relationship between them, namely Alexander Hamilton and his wife, Eliza. And any background required to this other than that?
Well, at this point in the storyline, Hamilton has become discouraged with a lack of progress at the convention. So he went home to his darling wife, Eliza, and they are discussing whether or not he should return, how much he's needed back at the convention. And we'll go from there.
From 1787, We the People, brand new musical that will premiere next week in Champaign.
The pinnacles are eminently strong. The barricades to freedom are long. And they will not come down without a mighty sound. And I will do the tolling. The bassins are there for those unaware who cannot see greatness before them, and the gains they'll need to fulfill the prophecy and make the miracles manifest before them. It is a newer way for men to aspire, not by royal edicts or governmental hire. I believe that business, yes, business should be free, and we all should be free to achieve. The miracle economy will be, and we all will make more money. The buyer and seller to benefit both, and the greatest economy ever the world has yet seen. And we will see songs and praises about something as dry as the economy. Only with me, surely you'll see.
And he's leaving. He swept into my
dear, I'm already gone.
And made of me his wife.
I swear it won't be long.
But I'll surrender all
peace. And song to his story in Philadelphia.
Corbin Dixon as Alexander Hamilton, delegate from New York. Tricia Cole as Eliza Hamilton. The song In Philadelphia, They Need Me. And that's from the new musical, 1787, We the People. At the piano, Lucinda Lawrence, who is also the composer of the music for this show. And Lucinda, that song had an example of something that I know goes on throughout the show at different times, which is you steal snippets of familiar tunes.
I do indeed steal snippets and use them and use them and use entire tunes in some cases. While the bulk of the music is original, there are some tunes, or at least parts of tunes, that are frankly ripped off. But a part of the political arena of the time was to utilize parody, meaning you would set alternate lyrics to a well-known tune and use it as the media for disseminating political opinion, Yankee Doodle being the most important of those, the most often used. It had been used by the British to taunt the colonists prior to the war, and it ended up that tune was turned around by the colonists during the war, and they made alternate lyrics and threw it back in the faces of the British and embraced it entirely, and it became quite a symbol for the revolution and for the new country thereafter. That tune was used and used and used with countless parodies. Toward the end of the story of the Constitution, there's a long, protracted ratification process, and each state then would have its own set of lyrics to Yankee Doodle in support of ratification. We actually use one set of those lyrics exactly, verbatim, in our musical.
Our Star Spangled Banner, for that matter, is a parody of not as well as often used as Yankee Doodle, but, you know, what was it, an English drinking song, I think?
The tune? It was called Anacreon in Heaven.
Leave that to our choral scholar over here, Leonard Rumry, who is the stage director for this show. We also have with us also the music director, Aaron Kaplan, who is fresh off a wonderful run of West Side Story with Champaign Urbana Theater Company.
Thanks.
Fantastic show.
Thank you.
Bob, we also heard an example, that song as an example of what I assume you're trying to do throughout this show. Tell some of the history, as Corbin did as Alexander Hamilton, give a little bit of an idea of what he was about, what he was standing for, what some of the issues are, but also introduce the love interest, so to speak, and which I assume was based on reality, or did you have to amplify some of this to make a nice stage story?
Well, there are a few things we adapt, but for the most part, the story was there. In this case, Eliza, she lives 50 years after Alexander Hamilton died. She's the longest living widow of any of the signers of the Constitution until the Civil War, in fact, and defended her husband forever. So it fits the bill. Some of the other things we changed, the two other delegates from New York, we turned into comic figures, but their job was to vote against Alexander Hamilton, whatever he voted for, is a for instance. And we describe a lot of the characters, but I think we try to do an appropriate job of describing them.
We have several more examples that we want to have from the show and might set up the next one. I want to say first, as I need to do and am pleased to do, that today's broadcast on FM 90.9 is made possible with support from these business partners: Free Star Bank of Champaign, Ray's Heating and Air Conditioning of Urbana, Prairie Ridge Farms Incorporated of Allerton, and Roland Realty of Champaign. These business partners join the friends of WYLL in making great programs possible, and we thank you for your support. We thank all of our listeners who support this station with your financial contributions. The next song introduces a character who is not in the musical 1776. I don't think that show quite delved as much into some of the background behind what the politicians were doing. Yours seems to do a little bit more of bringing in some of the popular issues. You talk about the Shays Rebellion, for example, which I couldn't remember a thing about until I heard the song that you wrote for this. And we have the character here of George Washington's slave, which is itself sort of a dirty subject. One doesn't want to think that George Washington had slaves, but in fact, he and just about everybody else in this show did.
Well, in 1776, they talk about the issue of slavery, and that's one of the major issues in 1776. In 1787, they sort of accepted the issue of slavery, and they figured out a way that slaves will be counted for purposes of contributions from the states as three-fifths of a man. And we decided early on, we're actually having Washington Slave sing to the delegates after the delegates have decided that he's only three-fifths of a man. And Leonard has done a great job of directing it. The delegates freeze on stage, and there's a chance for Jackson, his slave, and one other servant on stage to make an observation to these delegates. And that's what Sam is going to sing about now.
And this is another example, unless the song has changed, and I'm sure it hasn't, of borrowing of a tune that people will know very well.
Yes, this is based on the spiritual Deep River, and all we have done is changed some lyrics.
And Sam DeWeese in the role of Jackson, slave of George Washington from 1787, We the People, here on Live and Local.
Deep river, eyes calling the river Jordan, but oh, deep river, Lord, it is too deep to cross. I got me a good master, but he don't know poison like I know poison, 'cause I'm only three-fifths of a man. I lost my children, my wife with the bad uns. I don't mind living with the spect I'm given, but deep river, Lord, it is too deep to cross.
Sam DeWeese in the role of Jackson, slave to George Washington. The song called Three-Fifths of a Man, and that's from the musical 1787, We the People. Lucinda Lawrence wrote the music, adapted the music in this case. And, of course, that, as she said, based on the spiritual Deep River and a text by Bob Picklesheimer, Robert Picklesheimer, who has created all of this. And wanted to ask Leonard Rummery, the stage director, at what point did you come in to this project? And what's been your challenge in taking what Bob wrote and putting on stage and moving people around? And
well, I think I got into the project in January or about that time. And I think there were a number of people that they were talking to about directorial duties, and I seemed to be the one that was available. So that worked out well for me.
Often works out that way,
yeah,
doesn't it?
It seems to. But so from that time, I got a script and a score. Mostly I had the script at the beginning. And the challenge, I think, was that although there were scenes done at the Opera Workshop, no one had ever done this show before. I'd never seen the show. I had to really read the script to figure out what was happening. It's not like I usually use the analogy of Fiddler on the Roof. If I'd been assigned to do Fiddler on the Roof, well, I've been in Fiddler on the Roof, and I've seen the movie of Fiddler on the Roof, and I have a sense of what's going on. In this, I had to really figure out what was going on, because there wasn't an example anyplace. Luckily, I feel that the script is so beautifully written that it wasn't too difficult to figure out exactly what was going on. And, of course, I had a lot of nice talks with Bob about the issues that were coming up and the various positions that the delegates were taking. And I think the first scene that I blocked, I remember, was We the People, We the States. Because it's kind of unique, I think. There are a lot of lines that come from here and there and here and there and here and there. No big speech by a single person in that scene.
But at the same time, there's an underscore of music, and at particular points, after certain lines, the delegates have to actually sing "We the People" if they're on the people side, or "We the States" on the other side. So it wasn't just a scene, it was more like a musical number with a lot of dialogue. And that number got me really excited because I could do essentially some simple type of choreography. When do people stand up? When do they sit down? It makes a stage picture that shifts as the music shifts, and it also displays the difference between the two sides of the issue. So when I saw that scene and worked it out, I got very excited about it, and I realized how precisely Bob had written the script, and that made it a lot easier to go forward from that point.
How much of the history did you know, and how much was this your own education?
Well, some of it I did know, but Bob lent me 3 books, and it happened that I went on vacation. My wife and I went on a cruise right after that. I took the 3 books with me, and sitting in the wonderful sun of the Caribbean, I got to read about the hot summer that this was going on in Philadelphia. So I learned quite a bit, and especially what was helpful was there was one particular book, I don't recall the name of the book, but it talked about each individual delegate, and it talked about their background, what happened to them after the convention, what their position was on all of the issues, and that really helped me to see the way Bob had laid it out.
If only we could all do our research in such wonderful settings.
It's the only way I'm. It's a rule now. It's the only way I'm going to do it from now.
Go on a cruise?
Yeah.
Somebody wants to do you should do a show.
I'll say, send me on a cruise. Give me the score.
How much stage direction have you done before? I mean, I've only known you as a music director of shows.
Yes. Well, that music director has been my primary thing. But many years ago, when I was in my other my earlier career, which was an academic. I taught music here at the UVI. Before that, I taught music in the California University of California system. And one of my jobs there at UC Riverside, part of the job was the opera workshop director. So I actually staged a couple of operas there and also at Cal State Stanislaus, which is in the Central Valley. So the opera workshop director had to be the stage director and the music director and the set designer and the costume designer and all those things because they were pretty small schools. So I got involved with it at that time.
And so it sounds like that not only were you available, but it was a nice opportunity for you to get back into something you haven't done for a while.
Absolutely, yes. In fact, you know, it's interesting because I have in my library at home my copy of Pirates of Penzance, which I initially thought of as I would like to be the music director for that show. But as I was working on that, I kept writing notes in the margin. So someday I'm hoping that I'll be the stage director for that show.
Is and this you're advertising this now?
Yeah, so if anybody needs a stage director for Pirates of Penzance. But having done that and then directed the shows that I directed when I was in California, I really felt like I had some, not as much experience, for instance, as somebody like John Stuff, wonderful, wonderful director for the Champaign-Urbana Theater Company. But I felt at least I had something that I could give to a performance. And speaking of John Stuff, by the way, he has been a great help to me in going over some things where I was having problems in certain scenes, figuring out what to do, and he and I had good talks about it. So I appreciate his input.
Well, John Stuff was another of the folks who was involved in that original production by the CU Theater Company of 1776. And I noticed, Bob and Lucinda, you've got some other folks involved who were in that production. And we have in the room with us somebody who was involved in Parkland College Theater's production of 1776. So there's a little of history, of a different sort of history going on here. What do we have next, musically speaking?
This is the act closer for Act One. Who Are We? / Someday. Selected people of the cast are taking a look ahead, and we're going to listen to, again, Alexander and Eliza Hamilton as they are contemplating their future.
So this is their segment of that larger song.
That's right.
From 1787, We the People. Yeah, wonderful.
Comment about that, though? In the show, we're rolling up to the intermission at this point, and there's a scene in the hall, the Independence Hall in Philadelphia, and at the end of that scene, Mason, I think, says, who are we to think that we can achieve this? And Mason is another delegate. He says, who are we to think that we can achieve this? And at that point, we lose the sense of time. We lose the sense of place. The five people who come forward are not singing as a part of the story, in a sense. They also include things that happen to them afterward. So I just wanted to set up that this is not part of the story of the Constitution anymore.
I've seen a man a-coming from afar. He wants to waste my country, the western land to scar. This errand burrs and duelist with sure and steady eye. He will aim to shoot, I'm willing to die. But someday, my country will survive. I'll give to it my life. Who am I?
I've seen a man a-coming. He comes from Jamaica way. This man, he is a self-made man, and he has come to stay. He loves me more than anyone. He's deserving of my love, and only his country he places above. He's my man, my man. Beyond his debt for 50 years, his honor I'll defend. Who am I?
The song in real life will continue from there. Real life being the world premiere performances next week, Thursday through Sunday, of 1787, We the People, which is newly created by Lucinda Lawrence, composer, and lyricist is Robert Picklesheimer, director of the Creative Dramatics Workshop, which is presenting this show at the Virginia Theater in downtown Champaign, Thursday through Saturday next week, 7:30, and then a Sunday matinee at 2:30. And I think we've got a few solo tunes to come to give us a further idea of some of this new music and the story and some of the characters. And here we have a character with a really dramatic name of Cleaning Woman.
I need to explain that.
You go right ahead. Okay. Explain your way out of that one.
Originally, I think the idea was that there was going to be a sort of bookend issue with a person who appears at the beginning and becomes the cleaning woman. But when I saw the scene that was there, I decided that we needed a different person, just a different character, I should say, not a different actor, but a different character. And this song was just perfect for Maddie Knight. The character's name actually is Dinah Good. Her father in the show is the caretaker of the hall. His name is Jacob Good. And he is employing his daughter as the cleaning lady. And she comes in after the delegates have all left, and she's starting to prepare the hall for being in storage, so to speak. And she stops Franklin and asks him, do we have a country yet? And he says, yes, if we can keep it. And then she sings this song.
Maddie Knight in the role of Dinah Good, a cleaning woman, from 1787, We the People.
Liberties abound in the freedoms we have found, and our future will astound in the soul of man, doing what our people can in the spirit of this land. Promises we give will overflow, and those who come
come to live, we'll come to know what the bounty brings to these men we owe. Let the people sing of what our love did grow.
Nighty night. As Dinah Good from 1787. You're listening to these singers live in our studio here on Live and Local, and of course, encourage you to go out and see and hear this really wonderful opportunity for our community to experience a brand new musical. As I said in the promo that I was giving for this show, usually new musicals show up in Chicago and Broadway and Philadelphia and other places that have big theater going on, and we actually have a lot of theater that goes on in Champaign-Urbana and in our other surrounding communities, and it's fantastic that we've created a new musical here. I say we, but we, meaning Bob and Lucinda and all the colleagues that they've brought in around them. Tonight at 7 o'clock on the evening concert here on FM 90.9, it's Festivals with Charlie Albright as piano soloist in Mozart's 20th Piano Concerto and Ivan Moschuk playing preludes by Scriabin from the Gilmore International Keyboard Festival. Then it's Mozart's clarinet quintet from the Santa Fe Chamber Music Festival. Festivals tonight at 7 o'clock on the evening concert. And the countdown to the end of our fiscal year at Illinois Public Media has begun. Actually, it began a while ago, and our task this last month, these last couple of weeks, is to reach our membership goal of $2.1 million. Together, we've certainly worked through significant challenges this year, and together we can close the gap, reach our fundraising goal by June 30th, if you'll consider mailing a check to 300 North Goodwin, Urbana, Illinois, 61801. That's 300 North Goodwin, Urbana, Illinois, 61801, and we thank you very much. And I see in front of the microphone one of the fellows I mentioned before who's been involved in a production somewhere or another of 1776. Richard Henry Lee, I think, is the character that Andy Blacker played in the yes. Parkland College stage. How long ago now?
I just pulled out the T-shirt and wore it to rehearsal the other night, and it's been 7 years since that show went up. It doesn't seem possible that it was that long ago.
Yeah, you had one of the show-stopping songs. in that production.
A very different character in that show.
Yeah, who's your character now?
I play General George Washington.
Rather somber
yes.
person,
yes.
unlike Richard Henry Lee as portrayed in 1776. So are you the star of this show, or are you just a figurehead around which things revolve?
I am a man of few words in the show. But I am appointed to the chair of the convention, so it carries a large part in history, but definitely not the star of the show.
So, man of few words or not, somehow Bob and Lucinda managed to give you a song anyway.
Yes.
What's the context to this?
Actually, it's telling the story of some of my, or should I say, General Washington's life experiences leading up to where they are. He's reflecting back. And telling a story of when the soldiers couldn't be paid from the Revolutionary War. And so he tells a story and how he was able to put them at ease, but that he's afraid that any spark will ignite that same attitude and the uprising of the people again.
Andy Blacker as George Washington from 1787, We the People. The song's called Soldiers Came to Congress.
Soldiers came to Congress and camped out on the plain. They planned to take their payment, demanded in my name. These were men I'd led in battle in the Revolutionary War. I said anarchy will gain nothing, and who but I have given more. But they were past giving ear to my reason, their hands to their arms would they bide, for they could taste the power of freedom, could smell success on their side. A letter then I pulled from my pocket, I tried but could not read. But being so embarrassed by my spectacles, I had for them great need. Seeing this, their old general fragile. Made those grown men cry.
Andy Blacker as George Washington, as he said earlier, a man of few words. He actually, in the musical 1776, never shows his face, but he shows up quite often in the form of grumbling letters. Bob Picklesheimer, you mentioned the character in the characters in the creation of the Constitution of the Grumbletonians, who show up in 1787. Give us a little bit of an overview of some of the I remember when you were workshopping this show a little bit, that you had, like, this was a group of one set of characters, and this was a group of another, and then here were the Grumbletonians. Who are the large group of groups of players in this drama?
Well, they called them these names at the time. There were the Old Patriots, which were George Washington and George Wythe, George Mason, Benjamin Franklin. The ones who had already been through John Dickinson, who'd already been through 1776, who had been through the Declaration or had been through the Revolutionary War, John Rutledge from South Carolina. And then there's another group called the Young Lions, which are Madison and Hamilton, Governor Morris, Rufus King. And there's actually a song that Lucinda did in the show that's, well, we worked it out together, but it's Older Patriots, Younger Lions, where they greet each other. And even though Andy says he doesn't have many words in the show, there's whole scenes rotating around Washington. They encourage him to come to this convention after Shays' Rebellion because they need to put together a new constitution, and they don't have the they've tried some other conventions that haven't had many states come. But once they can persuade General Washington to come, then nearly all the states send a delegation to this convention. And there's the convention itself is fighting among itself. And one person nominates George Washington for the chair, and it quells the combat in the assembly. And so he's a very important character. And even though he doesn't say much, he watches the whole convention proceedings and helps orient how things will happen in the convention. One of the groups that comes as well, because initially James Madison proposes the way the thing will be put together, another group comes and says, well, the smaller states don't like popular vote to be able to elect everything, because they say the big states, Pennsylvania, Virginia, are going to take over. And that group becomes what they call, and they called them this at the time, the Grumbletonians. And we have, Lucinda has a little song about them where they sing, we are the Grumbletonians and we don't think that anything should change. And it's a fun song. The smaller states, New Jersey, Delaware, Maryland, Craig Krukowit is playing a delegate from Maryland who objects to everything, it seems, and that adds to some of the humor of the play. And there's quite a few groups like that in the musical.
And we have one more song to sample, to preview for you right now. Frank Thomas in the role of Edmund Randolph, Governor of Virginia and delegate to the convention, a song called A Politician, which I'm guessing doesn't need anything more said about it.
He's actually convincing the others of the delegation from Virginia that, yeah, he would be the right one to present the ideas, bring them forth on behalf of the state of Virginia.
Most of the people in the government at this point were really what we would call statesmen rather than people who are actually politicians. Randolph was, and he sings about being a politician.
I would open the convention for to early make my mark. Politics, Virginia's heart, myself practitioner of the art. I can argue toward the middle, then to left or to the right. One side for Americans and one side in Virginia's light. If I'd not known how to politic, I'd not be governor now. I can satisfy you, Jemmy, General Mason, I avow. To Virginia goes the glory, the most populous state of all. And its governor rolls the ball, its governor answers to the call. Oh, politics, oh, politics, so devilish a name. But without us politicians, where would be our game? I will serve you well, Virginia, for you need us not to stall. Need us politicians most, even those despised. Need us most of all.
Frank Thomas as Governor Edmund Randolph of Virginia from 1787, We the People at the piano. Lucinda Lawrence, who is composer of the music for this brand new show, and Robert Picklesheimer wrote the lyrics and the book, essentially. I don't know if there is a book, but he would have written it if there was one, and certainly all the background and the originator of the whole idea of doing this new show, sort of a sequel to the popular show 1776. And its premiere will take place next Thursday through Sunday at the Virginia Theater in downtown Champaign, the world premiere. Thursday, Friday, Saturday performances at 7:30, Sunday matinee at 2:30. And for tickets, you can go to the Virginia Theater box office, area 217-356-9063, or thevirginia.org, and go to the ticket line there. And there's more information on the show as well at the Creative Dramatics Workshop web, which is?
CreativeDramaticsWorkshop.org.
Oh, piece of cake. And Bob and Lucinda, congratulations on taking it thus far, and I'm really looking forward to seeing the results next week. And I hope we get lots of folks out to see it.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
You're listening to WYLL-FM. 90.9 WYLL FM in HD Urbana with translators W266 AF Urbana and W293 AF Danville, NPR and Classical Music for Central Illinois. WYLL is a member-supported service of the College of Media at Illinois. Just to look at a few of the many other events going on in our listening area, you can go out and see and hear live. The musical title of show is at the Summer Studio Theater at the Krannert Center. That is tonight and in rotation with the play QED, which is tomorrow night at 7:30. Check the Krannert website for full information. And I said West Side Story was done, but in fact, this is the second weekend of West Side Story at the Parkland College Theater, put on by the Champaign-Urbana Theater Company tonight through Saturday, 7:30, and Sunday afternoon at 2:30. It's The Wronglers with Jimmy Dale Gilmore at the Castle Theater in Bloomington. That's tonight at 7 o'clock. Weasel Dreams Sextet are at the Iron Post in downtown Urbana tonight at 7 o'clock. Romeo and Juliet is at the Illinois Shakespeare Festival at Ewing Manor in Bloomington. That's 8 o'clock through Sunday. And Strings and Things are at Uncle Buck's in Mahomet. That's tonight at 9 o'clock. Lots of other things going on in our listening area as well. Check out the various calendars available to you and let us know about events you know about by writing to me at willcalendar@illinois.edu, wylcalendar@illinois.edu. We have support for our show today from the Corkscrew Wine Emporium, 203 North Vine, Urbana, with wine tastings on Saturdays from 3 to 6:30 p.m. in the Bouvon Wine Bar. This Saturday's tasting features a selection of California, French, and Spanish wines, followed by live music from 7 to 9 p.m. by Armand and Dorothy. Details are available at thecorkscrew.com.
My name is Richard Henry Lee. Virginia is my home. My name is Richard Henry Lee. Virginia is my home. And may my horses turn to glue if I can't deliver up to you a resolution on independency. For I am FFV, the first family in the sovereign country.